proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. We continue with our series about Messiah and the prophets by looking at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and what it described regarding the death and the resurrection of the coming Messiah. The Old Testament scriptures made it clear that the promised Messiah would indeed have to die. This does not seem like an unusual fate. Many individuals have died as martyrs for what they believed in. However, the Old Testament writers foretold that the promised Messiah would rise from the dead. This differed from the experience of regular martyrs. A reference to Messiah the Prince, found in the 19th chapter of the book of Daniel, called attention to the death of the Messiah. "He shall be cut off," the word said, "but not for himself." This is what the angel Gabriel told Daniel would take place. In Isaiah chapter 53, that prophet implied that God's servant would die. Isaiah declared that God's servant, quote, "was cut off from the land of the living," unquote. He also asserted that he, quote, "made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death," unquote. Both statements implied that God's servant indeed had to die. Moreover, Isaiah continued, God had made the soul of his servant, quote, "an offering for sin," unquote. According to the book of Leviticus, anyone who presented a sin offering had to kill that sacrificial animal, which he brought. Regarding the death of Jesus Christ, all four gospel writers of the New Testament documented the actual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Matthew, for example, declared that he, quote, "yielded up the ghost," unquote. Mark and Luke used similar terminology when describing the Lord's crucifixion. John recorded how soldiers sent to hasten the demise of the crucified men, quote, "saw that he," namely Jesus Christ, "he was dead already," unquote. The Savior's enemies also believed that he had died. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, allowed Joseph of Arimathea to take possession of the Lord's corpse in order to put it in the tomb. Jewish religious leaders asked the same governor to set a guard around that tomb, fearing that the Savior's disciples might try to steal his remains and propagate, from their view, the fiction that he had risen from the dead. Neither Pilate nor the Savior's Jewish foes believed that Jesus Christ somehow survived that experience of crucifixion. In Isaiah 53, that prophet also indicated that God's servant would come back to life after dying. Isaiah wrote that the servant, quote, "shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand," unquote. He stated furthermore that God's servant, quote, "shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied," unquote. The resurrection of Jesus Christ constitutes one of the most well-attested events in human history. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul listed a number of witnesses to the risen Savior. Peter, the original apostle, 500 brethren at once, James, the other apostles, and finally, Paul himself. All of these were witnesses to the risen Jesus Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus Christ reaped the fruits of a great spiritual harvest. In 1 Corinthians 15, again, Paul wrote about how the risen Lord had become, in his words, quote, "the first fruits of them that slept," unquote. Jesus Christ conquered death. Those who belong to him will, through him, do likewise. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.